Remember what Paul said? How we should henceforth no longer serve sin? And there's always some sort of doctrine that comes to want to get a way around it. So where you can commit sin, but still feel okay. I'll never feel okay until all sin is removed from my life. Then I'll feel okay. Then I will know, as Peter says, your calling and election is sure when you see all these things happening. When you see faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness. When you see those things, now you've made your calling and election sure. Not to God, because God is for sure from the beginning. His grace is without repentance. It is before we're even born. It is given to us. It has nothing to do with that, of whether or not you're saved. It's not proving your salvation to God. It's proving it to yourself, where you can have the confidence to know, yes, God has chosen me to salvation, and I know it because he's given me the gifts. He's fulfilled to me the promises of one who walks in the flesh according to Christ. If we're in the flesh according to Christ, walking in this life, we are to lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the first verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, having these promises, let us go on and fulfill the promises, because God has given it to us to fulfill the promises. So Paul, you always got on the sin thing. Well, what do you think the gospel's about? The gospel's about the good news about how you can get free from sin. Not merely in a theoretical freedom whereby you think, I'm going to heaven, but I'm still going to keep committing sin till the day I die. Uh-uh. It is a race. A race implies forward progress. It's not a treadmill. Get on the treadmill for Christ. No. It's a race. We want to be victors. I want to be able to, and let's get back to the issue of leaven. Those things in our mind that prevent us from hearing God's word as it is written must be purged out. People say to me, oh, Paul, what do you think? You know everything? I don't know everything. Unlike a lot of people, I know what I don't know. I mean, as far as I realize how ignorant I am, I know there are things I don't know that I don't even know that I don't know them. I know that. To purify our doctrine, meaning to exercise from our doctrine all the unnecessary things, all the perverse and heretical teachings, and just stick with what we've been delivered. And stick to the root issue. Because I'll tell you what, once you have overcome sin and iniquity in your life, you've got time then for other doctrines, as far as I'm concerned. If I seem like a broken record in encouraging people to walk righteously, well, gee, I guess I'm going to have to live like that, because I need to be encouraged. That's why I need to encourage myself. I need to speak words to build myself, to encourage me, so that I may obtain, you know, that I may apprehend that which has apprehended me. Meaning, Christ has a hold of me, and I want to get a hold of Christ. I want to lay hold on what he had, because he has me in his clutches. And he's drawing me to him. And therefore, I have a desire for these great promises that they should be fulfilled in me. And so, yeah, it's like when I read 1 John 3, it's like, wow, that's pretty stark. But it doesn't discourage me. You know, it doesn't discourage me. It just says, it encourages me to say, that's my goal. Don't give up. I shouldn't give up short of the goal. Because he's laid out clearly what we want to do, what we want to be. I want to overcome every sin, every iniquity. You know, they call it sinless perfection. I know that people know about it, and they say, well, you know, they have a definite negative thing about it. Because a lot of people, I think, are anxious to be perfect. Because there are these stark words here, and they want to lay hold on that, and really, we've got to be perfect, and hammer people with it. And sort of, and everyone wants to claim the perfection before they have it. And I think that's foolishness. You're going to get burned. I don't see, that's why Paul speaks in humble terms. But he does not mince words when it comes to what we ought to be. I don't see John tooting his own horn about how righteous he is, but he certainly toots the horn of righteousness, how righteous it is. Because righteousness is exceedingly righteous. In fact, there's no unrighteousness in it. On the other hand, unrighteousness can be a little righteous. It can even be mostly righteous. But if it even has a little bit of unrighteousness in it, in the sight of God, it's unrighteous. Because God doesn't like halfway. He doesn't like part. He wants the whole. It's important. And the leaven that is most damaging I see in this generation is the leaven that tells us we can't obtain the promises. To me, that is so destructive. That we can't? What are you? You're going to just categorically rule it out. Say, Paul, you can't do it. I know I can't do it. God's going to do it. Well, God won't do it. You're a blasphemer. Get out of my sight. You are Satan to me. Get thee hence, Satan, who would say such things. Any minister that gets up and says, you're going to sin. Get thee hence, Satan. You are Satan. You speak Satan's words. The words of Satan are coming out of your mouth. Let's say, oh, Satan. Verse 10. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. But not without sounding it, obviously in his spirit. And saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. And this is such an interesting thing, you think about it. Everyone feels like Jesus was doing miracles left and right. What's with that? They were looking for a sign from heaven. See, that's something a little different. Sign from heaven. Maybe a fireball from the sky. Maybe we could, you remember Elijah? He did that thing where he built up the altar and he poured water over the calves and had God answer with fire. Then we'll believe you. If you could have God send fire down from heaven, we'll say that's a definitive sign. Healings weren't good enough. And he says, there shall be no sign given in this generation. In my notes, it mentions that this is, if there shall be a sign given. Meaning it's a Hebrew idiom. It's actually, the word if is there. But they translated it like this because they couldn't really understand the idiom. But it implies that you will see a sign, but the sentence is left unfinished. The word if implying that there's no doubt.